Chapter 6, McCarran International Airport, Las Vegas, Nevada, 2055 hours, 2 September 2005. A tug stood waiting outside the AFC hangar, and as a ground handler signaled for Castillo's Gulfstream III to shut down its engines, the doors of the hangar began to slide open. Inside the hangar, Castillo saw that a glistening new Gulfstream V, three older Lears, a Beechcraft King Air, and an old but nicely refurbished Cessna 150 had been moved to one side to make room for his G3. And then he saw there was a Cadillac Escalade in the hangar. Dr. Aloysius Francis Casey, chairman of the board and chief executive officer of AFC Incorporated, was sitting sidewards in the driver's seat, the driver's door open. He was wearing his usual baggy black suit. The tug hooked up to the nose gear of the G3 and dragged the aircraft into the hangar. Two men in white coveralls with the AFC logotype on the chest hooked up an auxiliary power cable. Castillo opened the stair door and went down it, with Taurine following. Casey pushed himself off the seat of the Escalade and walked to them.
"How are you, Charlie?"
he asked, shaking his hand, then Taurine's.
"Always good to see you, Colonel," Casey said.
"Always good to see you, too, Dr. Casey," Taurine said.
"And we really appreciate—" "God damn it! I keep telling you and the boy Colonel here that it's Frank," Casey said. "I'm starting to get pissed off about that."
"Sorry, Frank," Taurine said.
Casey looked toward the man in coveralls and raised his voice.
"Get the luggage off of that and put it in my truck."
The men hurried to do his bidding. Tom McGuire, Ed Lorimer, and bringing up the rear, Charlie Mulroney, came down the stairs and, somewhat hesitantly, walked to them. Casey put out his hand to Lorimer and said,
"Any special forces guy is always welcome. My name is Frank Casey, call me Frank. I did some time as a camo sergeant on an A-team in Nam, mostly over the fence in Laos and Cambodia."
"Yes, sir," Lorimer said.
"You call me sir one more time and you can sleep on your airplane. Clear?"
"Yes, sir. Frank."
"You're learning," Casey said,
then pointed his right index finger at Castillo and Taurine.
"Which is more than I can say for these two."
He turned to McGuire and Mulroney and said,
"Usually I have as little as possible to do with cops, but since you two are Irish, and with these guys, you get a pass."
He shook their hands, then said,
"Come on and get in the truck. We'll go out to the house and hoist a couple and burn some meat."
They had turned off U.S. Highway 93 a few minutes before and were driving down a macadam two-lane road toward the mountains. Castillo, sitting beside Casey in the front seat of the Escalade, was wondering what electronics were behind the dashboard to power the two telephone handsets and a large liquid crystal display screen, now displaying the AFC logo and "Standby," mounted on the dash. Casey suddenly said,
"Before we get to the house, I think I should tell you the wife passed."
"I hadn't heard that, Frank," Castillo said.
"I'm very sorry." "Yeah, well, we all have to go sometime, and thank God Mary Alice went good. She took a little nap by the pool and never woke up."
"I'm sorry, Frank," Castillo repeated.
"Me too, Frank,"
Jake Taurine said.
"Anyway, I got a couple taking care of me at the house. Good people, but you probably want to be careful what you say when they're around."
"Thanks," Castillo said, and then, as much to change the subject as anything else, asked, "What's this stuff?"
Casey looked and saw where Castillo was pointing.
"Oh, that stuff,"
he said, as if he welcomed the chance to change the subject.
"The left-hand set is an encrypted tie to my communications. The right one, and the display, is pretty much what they're putting in your airplane."
"Is it working?" Castillo said.
"It damn well better be."
"I could get my office on that? The White House switchboard?"
"You can get anybody on your net but the White House," Casey said. "I didn't think I'd better put a link in there. When the new stuff is in the airplane, you'd be linked to the White House just like your truck. But your office can patch you through to the White House."
I don't want to talk to the White House. I want to talk to Nuestra Pequeña Casa. I really have to start things moving down there. But is the radio still up? Or did Sergeant Kensington shut down when we left? There's only one way to find out.
Can I try it?
Help yourself.
How does it work?
Pick it up, say your name, give it a couple of seconds for the voice identification to work, and then say who you want to talk to.
There's an operator?
There's a little black box.
And it's encrypted.
Not even NSA will know what you're saying.
Castillo picked up the handset. The AFC logo on the display screen disappeared, and then standby went away. Activating appeared, and then encryption active, and then voice identification active, and finally, all functions operational.
Now my little green and red LEDs, Casey said.
Clever, Castillo said.
No recognition,
a metallic voice came over the handset speaker.
Jesus!
No recognition,
the metallic voice repeated.
Castillo.
Go ahead, Colonel Castillo.
Nuestra Pequeña Casa?
No recognition.
Argentina?
No recognition.
Safe House.
There was a moment's delay, then Sergeant Robert Kensington's voice came cheerfully over the speaker in the handset.
How's things in Vegas, Dr. Casey?
Colonel Castillo, Bob. How's things where you are, and where are you?
In the Quincha, sir.
I was afraid that all might be shut down.
Mr. Darby decided it would make more waves if everybody suddenly vanished, so we're still here.
Who's we?
The Cienos, Ricardo Solez, and me.
Darby's at the embassy?
No, sir, he went to Asuncion. He said if you called to tell you he and Tony Santini were going to make sure the cork was back in the bottle.
We don't have a secure link to Asuncion, do we?
No, sir. And Mr. Santini said not to send any messages unless we had to.
What about Ricardo? Is he there?
He went grocery shopping in Pilar. I can get him on his cellular, if you want.
No. Here's what I want you to do. Get through to Darby or Santini and tell them the situation has changed. They are to stay there until Solez can get there to explain and then to act accordingly. And then get Solez back from the supermarket. Tell him we have been tasked to get back that DEA agent who got himself kidnapped, and to get on the next plane to Asuncion to tell Darby and Santini. Nobody in the embassy there, nobody, is to be told about this.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good news, Colonel. That DEA guy is a pretty good guy, according to Solez.
It is the opposite of good news, Bob. I haven't a clue about how to get him back.
You'll think of something, Colonel, Kensington said.
You always do.
Well, there's a vote of confidence. The trouble is, it's completely unjustified.
And tell Solez to ask Darby and Santini, both, to get on a secure line to me as soon as they can.
You're with Dr. Casey?
Right. Can I ask what you're doing, sir?
Drinking, gambling, and chasing naked women, Castillo said. What else does one do in Las Vegas?
Get right on this, please, Bob.
I already have Solez on his cellular.
Okay. Breaking down, Castillo said.
He covered the mouthpiece with his hand and turned to Casey.
How do I do that?
Say, finish the break it down.
Break it down, Castillo said.
Disconnecting,
the metallic voice said in his ear.